What's going on, everybody? This is the podcast formerly known as Men Growing Beards and Sleeping on Chairs, now known as Whiskey, Web, and Whatnot. You've got myself, Robbie the Wagner, and my co-host, Charles William Carpenter III.
Yeah, I was going to propose the title of Men Pretending to Be CEOs as if they are important, but Robbie thought that was too long.
Ah, yes. Yeah, you have a max character limit for our podcast titles. But we are technically both CEOs as of this moment.
Yeah, anybody could do that, though. Just so you know, you just incorporate for a few bucks, whatever it costs, and then just call yourself that. And it works.
Yeah, you don't even have to do that much, right? Like, you can just say, like, people don't realize that you can just do the little copyright symbol on your website, and that, like, that's like 50% of the way there. Like,
yeah,
you don't have to do all the legal shit.
I didn't even file this copyright, but I did tell you it was copyrighted. So, or trademark pending or things of that nature. Apparently these days you can just go on Twitter and say, I'm the CEO of HTMX. So let's just say that I am the HTMO.
HTMO of the CMX.
I am the CEO of HTMX. Officially
and I am the CEO
here.
Of HTML.
Mm-hmm.
We will
That's
fight
a programming
it
language. Mm-hmm. Patent pending.
More so than HTMX.
There you go. Yeah, because HTMX is a library.
Yeah. I love that everyone is like, is HTMX a real thing or a meme? Because I can't tell. And I'm like,
both.
Honestly, I can't tell either, but I think it's mostly a meme. Is what
I love how much, like, it's funny to say this, traditional or legacy web application frameworks have embraced HTMX. They're like, finally, I don't have to fuck with React. Anyway.
Nobody wants to fuck with React. You heard it here first.
It fucks with you, though.
Yeah.
And it's
Tell us about
there.
The Sweetens Cove, Chuck.
Okay. So today's whiskey is Sweetens Cove Tennessee Straight Bourbon. It is aged 13 years at a proof of 100.6. Today's mash bill is 84% corn, 8% rye, and 8% malt. That's correct. Mm. That adds up to 100.
This shit also, sorry to derail you, but 50.3% alcohol. Really? Why could we not level this out at 50 or 51 or... It's just where it tasted just right, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, because there's no... Like, what did it go into the barrel? So Tennessee whiskey isn't...
It should be high. I mean... They water everything down, right? Like barrel
proof
anything
proof
it, is pretty
it's called
high.
Proofing it down.
Yeah,
is what it's called. But it's basically adding
water,
right?
Water.
Yes, yeah, because water goes
Limestone
away in the aging
water.
Process. It's not. It's in Tennessee. Everything's different.
Tennessee water.
As soon as you cross the border, there's no limestone. It's so weird. That's exactly where they created the border.
The water becomes soft when you cross the border. No limestone.
Isn't soft water just high minerals? It's just maybe not.
Yeah,
that
it's lime,
much.
Which is from limestone, right? Am I wrong? I don't know.
I know that Kentucky water has the limestone and does soften it, but does that mean all softened water is limestone influenced? There's so many questions here, more than there's answers.
I am
Here's my big question.
On the softness of
did
water.
Not Kimmy Gibbler, it was Stephanie Tanner. Did she have anything to do with this? Right?
I don't know.
Wasn't that the Jody Sweeten? Wasn't that the middle sister on? No. Okay.
On what? I don't know. I mean, you know a lot of things that I don't know.
You heard it here, folks. I know a lot of things.
Due to our ages, you know more things than I know about certain things.
Right. Yeah. You weren't born yet. I can't even now. I already lost it. You know, was it the Bob Saget TV series?
Oh, Full House?
Fuller House was the... Yeah.
It was Jody. I don't...
Jody Sweeten. Anyway,
was it Sweeten?
She has nothing to do with this. Does she live in Tennessee now?
Yeah, it doesn't have anything to do with Tennessee.
It would be a great story, wouldn't it, though? Like, if she, like, took all her Full House money and, you know, bought a farm in Tennessee.
Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's try this one.
It says, a state of mind, a place on the map, share it, savor it, Sweetens Cove. So I guess it's a place, Sweetens Cove.
Speaking of Sweetens, it's very sweet smelling.
Yeah.
84%
like
corn
a fucking
really
cake.
Do you? Yeah, birthday cake. I was totally going to say, like, birthday cake, Rice Krispie. Like, that's what it reminds me of.
Like, I'm not getting any burn on the nose. It's all
No.
Yeah, a lot of marshmallow for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, man. Let's get in here. Okay, I get a little bit of like, kind of like a little bit of like burny sugar there, but still sweet initially.
The flavor is not hugely different from the smell. There's some marshmallow to it, especially at the end, like lingering, a little bit of marshmallow.
Roasted
it's definitely
marshmallow.
More burned. Like it's like you lit a marshmallow on fire and let it burn for a couple seconds and then ate it, which is a yummy flavor. I don't mind
this
that.
This is quite good so far.
Yeah.
A little bit of like lemony, slight lemon to it in the finish for me.
As it just keeps going back to birthday cake for me.
Yeah, definitely starts as that.
It's weird. It's like it has a ton of smoke in the initial taste. And that almost brings me to like a scotchy flavor. But then before it goes over the hill and sucks like a scotch does, it's like yummy. Like,
I don't think that
you know
I
what
would,
I mean?
Yeah, no. I think I'm there with you, but it just doesn't quite have like a smoke to me. It has more of like a char of like.
Sure. Yeah.
Right? Like you said, like you roasted a marshmallow.
That's what I mean.
You blackened a little bit of it. And it has that little char at the beginning. And then you're like, ooh, gooey, delicious marshmallow.
Yes. It is more like the actual char versus the vapors coming off of it. I was just generalizing with words.
Aren't we all?
Yeah. But I think it's really good. I think if you like scotch, you would like it. You may not like the finish, but like initially it punches you in the mouth like a scotch would. And I like that it's got that going and the like mild cakey taste with like, this is just, it doesn't have any like flavoring or like, I don't know. Like they did a great job of this being different than anything else I've had with not doing anything that different. It's like a mostly corn, not that much proof to it. You know, you would think it wouldn't have a lot going on, but it does.
I agree with that. I agree that it's quite good. So when we rate it, and here you are, listener, remember, just in case you forgot from last week, we use a tentacle scale. It's from 0 to 8, 0 being horrible. Clearly, we're not going to go that direction. 4 being like, as is fine. And 8 being quite amazing. How would we categorize this one, though? Because we tend
That's
to like segment.
Question.
Is it a bourbon or is it a Tennessee whiskey? Is it both?
Because they say both.
Yeah. So technically, like,
if we
many
were saying,
Tennessee whiskeys like Jack Daniels are bourbon for all intensive purposes from mash bill and all the other stuff. They just flavor
they just
it. This one's not flavored. Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah, I think. Okay. So let's do both. So from a bourbon standpoint, this is quite possibly the best bourbon I've had. Because most bourbons don't do much for me, and this has a lot going on. So in a bourbon standpoint, I would give this an 8.
Whoa.
As a Tennessee whiskey, I don't know, because we had some good ones at Greenbrier. Is it Greenbrier? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Greenbrier. Yep.
Yeah. But I don't fully remember them, so I don't like...
So they're
I don't
amazing.
Know, like, not that I was like wasted then or whatever, but like, I just don't, we tasted like 5 or 6. So like, I don't remember them all. And I'm sure some of them are pretty good, but this is quite possibly both the best bourbon and the best Tennessee whiskey I've had. And I will give this an 8 because this is amazing.
Wow. Okay. You heard it here, folks.
Yeah.
You got an 8.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm far off from you. I think I'm considering it from a different perspective, though. So from just a straight bourbon perspective, we have had a lot of really good things. So like even like the Bardstown we had recently, I think is pretty tasty. We've had some different Bardstowns. There's a Rabbit Hole we had that was quite good. We had
that's been a while ago, though.
We've had a couple of barrels that are also quite good. We've had some weird and fucked up ones, but we've had some very good ones. So from that perspective, I kind of lump it into that, like, this is very tasty and interesting, like some of those were, and I definitely would reach for this more. Probably going to reach for this a lot more tonight.
Let's qualify a little bit more, though. Like, they didn't age this in anything like a port barrel or a, like, this is just a barrel, a normal barrel with normal Tennessee whiskey mash bill.
Just like, straight up whiskey. Yeah.
I think doing that, it is the best execution I have had. Now, if you count barrels being in port or Cabernet or different kind, like those are potentially tastier than this.
Yeah.
They've done more things. Like, I think this is the best.
Not a finished whiskey.
Bourbon.
Yeah. I agree. Not a finished whiskey. I need to go back to some of those because I'm a big fan of things like Maker's has the 46 cask strength that I think is very flavorful and delicious. So in the bourbon world, I feel like there's some other things that I like a lot also, and I kind of like put this in that pot. So I would give it a 7 in that world very easily. Definitely would come back a bunch. Want to share. I'll probably talk about this with some of my, you know, whiskey crew offline. In a Tennessee whiskey, it's just no doubt. Like, this is a slam dunk. This is an 8, 100% of the time. And I, you know, I like some of the Greenbrier expressions and some Dickel and things like that that I've had that are pretty good. But this is far superior to those.
Yeah.
So, in that sense, it's definitely an 8. So, yeah, I here we are. I think we've hit the pinnacle of something that, like, is a clear winner to us. In some ways,
I'm surprised. Like, I was expecting it to be hype. Like, a cool looking bottle that costs a lot of money is usually not that tasty. Like, it's usually not bad because you've paid a lot for it and they put a lot of work into it and it's fine.
Right.
But yeah, this punches above its price point, I would say. Like,
right.
I, having not had anything really pricey like a Pappy or anything yet, which we should change, we should do that. Maybe like where we can get a shot of it versus buying a bottle.
Right.
But yeah, this is one of the best ones I've ever had. And I don't really have anything bad to say about it.
Well, having had Pappies, and I've had all of them, I think, actually, throughout life, I would say, and again, this is just kind of my own opinion of things. Now, at retail, Pappy is a great value. At a secondary that isn't like off the fucking charts, it's still pretty decent, but you're still getting really good stuff when you could like pick up Weller Antique 107 or the 12 year Weller. Like, those were still doing pretty good in comparison to me. Like, I felt like these are still pretty good too. So like, I don't need to chase that all the time. Pappy 23 for me is just way too old, way too like woody and deep, and just like, it just, too much spice with the sweet, because it is a weeded bourbon. Yeah, 15 was like my sweet spot, but again, like, there's a certain price where it just didn't feel worth it. So I would say, like, this is delicious. I would take this over that, because I'm not going to pay that. That isn't any miles better than this, by all means.
Yeah.
So here we are. All right.
Yeah, there we are. This is what, our third 8 or something? I forget what we've given an 8. Not much.
Not much.
It's high praise.
Yeah, here it is. We're setting some standards for folks. And yeah, and it, you know, so regressing back to some of your points around, like, I just have like a lot of these micro distilleries coming out, oftentimes just sourcing things and whatever else. And you're like, you get okay product, you get some nice packaging, it's heavily marketed. And then it's sort of like, to try them, it's $60 to $80 out of the gate. And $80 to be like, I don't know, I got to trust your palate for me. Like, I don't know, I'd rather get a tried and true half that price or less. Like,
yeah,
I'm just less incentivized to like go down these paths. And so to get something that actually ends up kind of delivering is nice, because I'm not blown away by their website by all means. I went there to get some info.
No, I haven't checked their website.
Yeah, I usually get the whiskey info. So I go to the website first and then I kind of go from there if they don't give much. But and this is available at Sealbox and DeWine Spot. So,
yeah, it's available kind of everywhere. Like, I think I got mine at the ABC store.
Oh, really?
And I think after I got it, like, you sometimes I'll go and get like the 5 most interesting things they have, and then just make sure they get sent to you if they're not like a thing.
Yeah, yeah, because you get better prices at the ABC. They're like,
yeah,
you know, all normal, and then you're like, well, online I can find a lot. So,
yeah, I think I paid like $125 maybe. Or something.
Okay.
And yeah, I think online now it's like 200-ish. And like,
I did see it at Sealbox for like 215.
Yeah.
It was like 180 or something at DeWine Spot, but it might, who knows? You know,
yeah,
that goes up as availability. So there you go. Pay a little more, get a little more in this instance. So that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that price definitely carries some weight. I think that like that's not approachable for everyone. This is like a nice one to have in your cabinet for a while. Share with people like, which means not your family.
Yeah, this is one I will not be giving away. I give most of them away. Like people come visit, and I'm like, take two or three whiskeys with you because I don't need them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Are we going to hot takes each other? Is that what's going on?
I don't know. I was like, we haven't talked about these. We've given our opinion on like the ones we've been doing, but not these newer ones. I didn't know if we wanted to talk about them or if we want to skip them and go straight to normal tech.
Let's see here. I don't know. I mean, do you want to give your opinion on these things? I mean, the last one could be possible, but.
Yeah, I don't care. I mean, the first couple I think are pretty quick. GraphQL was definitely a mistake. No discussion involved.
It depends, but I think that it's not like this panacea that has changed the API world that we originally thought 3-4 years ago. So
yeah, no, I think I said this on a recent one where we asked someone this, where I was basically like, the things that it brought to light of like, let's request only the things we need and like keep our responses small. Like I think that those kind of ideals that it introduced are very important. The same way that like I think React is not that great, I think it introduced a lot of important ideals too. So like similar there, I think it's like it moved us forward. It got like it moved the status quo higher to where it's like we don't all just be like, oh yeah, we'll use whatever and we don't care about the format and how much we're sending or whatever. Like it's enabled us to move forward, but I think using it blindly now as like, it's the thing you use kind of is what it was for the last, like what, 8 years or something. Like, yeah. I think now it's less like, okay, that's the thing I'm definitely going to use. And more like, I like some of the things it gave me, but what else can I use that does that?
Yeah, exactly that. I think we're actually at a tipping point in a bunch of these things that like, new tools every 15 seconds, but also a lot of iterations over existing tools. And there's not really a right decision, more in like, you just need to learn to be a master of your tool or like learn how to work hard to make it work well.
Yeah.
And that's really what it matters. What for the most part, like that's where you're coming up with, you know, it's like you can even use Ember today and run your SPA. And then just get really good at fine tuning it and finding ways to make it efficient.
Yeah.
Or React or Next or whatever else. Who knows?
I mean, the theme with everything is like leverage what's built in, because we have view transitions now, which I don't know how to hook it into Ember yet, but I'm working on it. Like there's got to be a like route will transition that's like skip the transition, do my like view transition thing and then do the or like, whatever it is, but like I haven't figured out how to make it work. But once you figure those like glue pieces out into every framework, you can just use the native view transition stuff and you can be as specific as you want in your CSS of like, this thing should like slide 20 pixels down and like fade in and like do all, like you can be really granular and we don't need then like Ember animated or liquid fire or like any of the things. Like GreenSock, like I guess we didn't mention it on the podcast. We were pre-gaming before the podcast, so we talked about GreenSocks. Like you probably don't need that as much because like you can do all of this. Like I think the browser is really going to be very powerful for all of these things going forward.
Yeah, and that's kind of the point, I think, of a lot of things that have come up in tech Twitter and whatever, is that these baseline tools are more empowered now. And we don't need to work around them as much as we used to, per se. Like, right? Like, if you were starting fresh thing today, obviously, if you're in the trenches in a 3, 4, 5, 10-year-old application, who knows? Like, you have different choices to make, obviously, along the way. But if you're thinking from zero, you know, use the tools of the web first before you start layering on complexity, I think.
So, yeah. Yeah, anyone that's thinking about like, should I build this component for XYZ? If it exists in native at all, like color pickers, date pickers, time pickers, all these different things that there are libraries for, you could do your own libraries for all these things, use the native one. And when product tells you, oh, I want it to look a little different, be like, no, we want it to work well for the users and adapt to the device they're on.
Yeah.
And if they happen to be on a subpar device that does it weird, that we don't like the look of it, that's fine because it will work perfectly. It might not look beautiful,
right?
But it's going to work perfectly. And the looks are improving. Like, they're allowing you to change things with CSS more and more to where we should lean into that native stuff and then worry about the style later.
Yeah. It's kind of like the progressive web app ideology of use as much of whatever is on the platform you're accessing this with, make it as friendly as possible to that access, you know, to that particular device, and then sort of pepper in niceness. Yeah.
Yeah. Progressive enhancement.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
What a novel concept. Trademark. Don't let anybody say that. From here on out, if anybody says progressive enhancement, they owe us 50 cents American. Because I'm not taking your Canadian cents.
Yeah. I used to always get like a Canadian coin every like a couple times a year with like change from like Wendy's or something. Like, I'm like, how does that happen? Like,
yeah.
I guess there's, you know, someone in like rural Virginia happened to be traveling to Canada and had like a coin in their pocket on accident. And like,
and they used it. They were like, how do I get rid of it? Rural Virginia. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I get rid of my pesos and anything else.
You go to rural Virginia?
Yeah. I just go to rural Virginia and I go to Wendy's or an Arby's, you know, and that's it. They have the meats and they have the foreign currency.
Yeah.
It's a foreign currency exchange.
We also
exchange.
Have a
they
lot
just
of
didn't know.
Mexican restaurants that you could just probably spend it at. But
well, what if they're Argentinian pesos? See, there's so many
okay,
ways
okay,
you can go with
yeah.
that. Yeah.
Yeah, and what if the restaurant is not truly Mexicans, but people masquerading as Mexicans?
Right,
I guess.
Right, exactly. And also, if they are truly Mexicans, they're like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
I don't want like, this. You know how much this is worth?
No one in America wants that.
Right. Wait, I came here to not get these. A dollar is not 4 cents, brah. You know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyways, yes, this is a ridiculous rabbit hole. Let's move to the next thing.
Rabbit hole. Today's episode is brought to you by Rabbit Hole Whiskey. No, I'm just kidding.
Derringer.
Yeah, the Derringer is one of my favorites because it's one of the two I've tried.
Yeah.
See, if we were like Whiskey Ginger, sponsored by Rabbit Hole Whiskey, we could actually say that. Yeah, they are. Have you listened to that podcast? Because he says it like four times.
I have not listened to it. It has come up several times searching for podcasts around whiskey, but I haven't listened to it.
Yeah, it's a comedy one. Very well structured.
Okay. Well, I'll check it out. Speaking of comedy, would you ever put your sidebar on the right side of VS Code?
I like it in theory. In practice, I'm lazy and leave things at default for the most part. Because I remember doing it in Sublime Text or something for a while ago and be like, this is great. No, 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 no. And then you move on to the next thing or you move on to a new computer. So everything kind of resets a little bit and then you don't do it. You just do your shit, move forward. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I would ever care enough to move it. And if I did, like, I don't really use it a ton because, like, when you have more than, I don't know, 25 files, you're just searching for them anyway.
Oh, right. Like, yeah. Command P.
You don't
P.
need a sidebar. You're just, no, yeah.
You
so
don't.
I don't,
Command
I don't
P.
know any of the real commands because I use the IntelliJ mapped commands. So for me, it's like Shift Command O is how I search for
files.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So you guys are like command whatever. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like,
yeah, command P.
Not that for me.
Or it's, yeah, it's command P and this shift command P for like things like show preview or whatever.
Hmm.
So
yeah, I probably should turn that off and just learn the real ones.
Maybe you should learn NeoVim on a Kinesis 360.
Oh, yeah. That's true. I should probably do that.
If you're ever going to stream, that's what has to happen. So
I have the keyboard. Honestly, mm-hmm, the one of the highest reasons I won't use it right now is it's Bluetooth, which sounds cool, but you can only Bluetooth to one thing at a time. So if I'm switching from my desktop to my work machine, I'm going to have to go like disconnect Bluetooth, connect it to this one. So I need something that like plugs in. And if I'm going to plug it in, then I have wires going. It doesn't have like a plug-in sensor I can plug in. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. So my current keyboard and mouse are from Logitech, who should also sponsor us.
Yeah, yeah. I think I have the same mouse, right?
Yeah, you do. You just have the white one.
Yeah. That's so because you can match I want more privilege.
New Rodecaster that
I just
getting.
Want, I have this one for more privilege.
You want more privilege. You want pseudo access. Yeah.
Pseudo, give me, I don't know. I don't know what, I mean.
No, pseudo is privilege. That was the joke.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, yeah. I got it. Pseudo make me a sandwich. It's my favorite XKCD comic. Have you ever seen that?
One of those? They go, yeah, like, make me a sandwich. And it says no.
Make me a sandwich. And the wife says no. And it says pseudo make me a sandwich. Okay. It's great. It's like such nerd jokes, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
Mm.
All right. Yeah, I don't know if we want to get deep into is OpenAI AI dead now. I think it's less performant and it's like it's in a weird limbo state, but I think it's going to make it.
Yeah, I think it's going to make it. I think it's got a lot of hype behind it. Plus, like, I don't give a shit what you call it, Google. I don't want to use it. You know, you like,
you don't want to use
spin
Gronk.
Up not for 20. Well, I already pay $20 a month. I don't want to pay someone else $20 a month to try their thing.
Wait, do you have to pay for it? I thought it was included in X
premium plus.
I got plus.
You do? You pay $20 a month already then?
I paid the yearly fee, which is like 30% off. So I was just like, give me all that shit. Cause I thought it would give me like even more like ranking power. And it's actually like, I feel like the more and more money I give them, the less and less I rank. Like I get like,
yeah, I hardly see your tweets.
Yeah. Like I have like, you know, 6,000 followers or whatever. And I get like 200 views on a thing. So I'm like, I think it's like actively deranking me like for having this. I don't understand.
You know how this partnership works, right? Like you get a thing and I need the thing. And then like,
well, you
know,
get the thing.
Just goes like that.
But yeah, but I don't know if it's helpful. You're welcome to buy it. Like, I don't always
you
tell
here,
you all
folks,
the things
I
I'm
have
buying.
Permission. I am also married to Robbie.
Yeah. Yes. But
I don't know how the algorithm works. I don't think it works very good. And no. I try to engage with, you know, with things to sort of boost that and whatever else. And I don't know. There's weird things that work really well. And there's other things that I think are going to crush it. Nobody even likes it. I'm like, did they see it? I don't understand.
Well, it tells you if they've seen it.
Yeah, like 130 you can see the little views and then like nothing. But
yeah,
I don't
know. So I don't know how that works. Maybe it's like a tiered thing of like if 100 people see it and none of them like it, then it like starts deranking it or something. I don't know. Like something is happening because I post stupid shit that like shouldn't have any likes and it gets tons of likes. And then I post stuff that I really like thought out and it's like, no.
Oh, okay. So monthly it's $16. I feel like it went down. And then if
it
you
might
pay
have
yearly,
the yearly you get like a 20% or 30% discount.
12% now. 12%.
Oh, so I think mine was like 20%. They keep changing it. Yeah, they also keep saying like for the podcast, they're like, give us the $1,000 a month for the gold. And like and we'll give you $1,000 in ad credit. And I'm like, you guys really need money, huh? Like,
no. Well, he does because the valuation went way down and everything else. All right, I'll see. Whoa. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Don't do this live or quasi-live.
Okay. I bought it. Okay. You done?
Yeah, I did it. I bought it. But then, like, some, like, really creepy thing came up after.
Tell me about how much Linux doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't. I personally kind of wanted to jump on that because, you know, I have a home lab with like a Linux setup and all of that. And that's fine. Like Ubuntu server works good. But like, if you want to use it for your like daily do shit, it made me feel like I regressed
your
back. Your daily do shit thing. Like you log on and like you got certain post some stuff, do some dev stuff, like go over here, do this. You know, all the stuff that you would do normally in a day. And it just never works straightforward. Like, oh, I don't like this terminal app and I don't have good ones I like. Okay, I'll try and do terminal through VS Code. But now I'm like overly integrated into that.
You can use
that.
Warp, right? Because it's Rust. It's not Electron.
Yeah,
so maybe Rust. You can't.
Yeah.
Electron ones you can. So you could use Hyper.
Yeah, maybe. But anyway, end of the day, I just felt like I'd regress back into like, I have a Windows computer and I'm always trying to fix this fucking thing.
Yeah.
And it just didn't feel good. And this comes up as a topic because we were talking about the framework laptops and in theory, I love that. I love like this like modular composable laptop that can like last as long as you do. If you want, like you can replace the motherboard and memory and inputs, and you can be like, oh, I don't have this port right now, and you pull that out and you put in the port, like the little card that gives you that port, now you have it. Mm-hmm. And like in theory I love that, but then it's like Linux run, and I don't know, this is maybe a me problem. I just feel like in general it just like doesn't work for your normal user. I'm gonna say I'm just a normal user.
Well, so I think it comes down to, do you enjoy a long time of like configuration and whatever? Because there's the hardcore Arch Linux users want to configure stuff. And they tell me it's better now, and I'm not ever going to check to see if it is, because why? But like, I did it back in like 2008 or so. I installed Arch Linux. And you have to like download it to a flash drive, take it over to your PC, and like you start the installation, whatever, and it asks you some questions and you like choose some options and it installs everything, and all it installs is like a terminal. There's no GUI by default, so you have to then like install GNOME, or I don't even know all the different options, but like some kind of GUI. And it's like this, like, what? Like, just choose this for me. Like, I don't want to have to spend all fucking day. Like, even if I love your distro and it's like lightweight, and that's the whole point, is we're not going to install everything, so it's lightweight. Cool, but I want to be able to use it easily. So like, strike that balance and give me a GUI. Everyone needs a fucking GUI. Like, there's no one other than like GitHub CI is using like headless Linux. Like, who the fuck wants just a terminal? Like, no.
Right. Yeah, because I mean, you can have your terminal and then you vim and change your files and you do everything, and you never see anything because you don't have a browser, you don't have anything.
Yeah.
Here it is. So that kind of Linux is the React of computer OSs.
Yes,
because
it's for people
if
that
you
like
want to take
over engineer.
Yeah, I have this thing, and now to have a full OS with GUI, I have to pick all the things. There's no standards.
Yep.
I'm just going to bespoke my thing.
Yeah. And if you have tons of time and you love that kind of shit, then it's fun. But if you don't, like most people don't now, you just want it to work. And you're just like, even if you give me that flexibility, give me a recommendation that's like, hey, 90% of people install this. You should probably install
that. Do you want it or not want it kind of thing? Yeah.
Yeah. And then cool. Because you can opt out if you want for those power users. Or for most of us who just want to get shit done, you're like, yeah, give me that.
Mm. This episode is brought to you by Nullvox, who thinks you're wrong.
Brought to you by Arch Linux.
Yeah, Arch Linux and Nullvox.
No, I mean, I agree with the idea of the framework laptop, and I think Nullvox loves the framework laptop, and I like all of that. Like, hardware-wise, I think they did a great job. I think everything they've done is perfect. But I assume you can't, it's like not Hackintosh compatible. So if I'm not doing Mac OS, then there are some things that are kind of Mac OS like that you could install that like maybe solve some of these problems. But like, I think there's one day we might get there where it's like, you know, we just know what the like Linux distro is. Like Ubuntu was kind of that for a while, mm-hmm. but then like now it's gotten so complex. I'm like, I want to release Swatch as a Snap app. And it's like, well, you got to do like months of work to get that shit to work. And I'm like, well, maybe we just don't support Ubuntu then. Like,
right. How much you can user install base it in, cares?
You know? You can probably install it in Arch Linux easier than fucking Ubuntu right now, because Ubuntu is like, we got this thing and we're all like sitting at home, like eating Funyuns and drinking Mountain Dew and being like, not on my lawn, motherfucker. Like, and I'm like, how about you just help me release an app so that we can be a nice ecosystem? Like, no, fuck you. You didn't read the entire manual for Linux. You don't know shit. Like, yes, I don't know shit. I've asked you for your help. Like, please help me.
I don't know shit. No. And I just want to include you in my user base. Yeah. But here's this. I think they buried Snap too, by the way. I think the last time I jumped on Ubuntu, they basically deprecated Snap.
I have not released Swatch in like over a year or two in Ubuntu land, because not just that, but we use the color picker in Chrome.
Yeah.
And it does not work. I think it might be specifically Ubuntu. I don't know if it's Linux as a whole or just Ubuntu, but it's like, it doesn't work because it like doesn't have the right permissions or something. So it like can't grab the rest of the screen. It can do it like just on the browser it's running on. And they did not allow for that, like, go into the permissions and say, allow this. So it just didn't work. And we were like, we don't care that much because
nobody uses it on. Yeah. It turns out a lot of designers who are the user base don't use Ubuntu or Linux or anything that doesn't just work.
Arch Linux, yeah.
Yeah, turns out they're not the
Arch Linux to learn Arch Linux, Figma.
Yeah. Arch Linux are for like, you know, what is it? Like, not InfoSec, but, you know, like the whole cybersecurity. Like that, those
it's
are the people.
It's for very technical people. Like,
yeah,
you want to like, when you see
get
someone
into the back door. They don't want a GUI because they're just trying to type into the back door. They just want to get access to your servers and shit like that. They don't care.
I did.
They don't care about Swatch.
I went home to Roanoke, Virginia, middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Went to Food Lion out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
dude gets out of his car with an Arch Linux shirt on. It's like,
wow,
whoa, one. Hilarious, but two, like, you look like the kind of guy that would use Arch Linux. Like,
yeah, he's a prepper. He's got, you know what I mean?
Oh, like, yeah.
He's like, cybersecurity, red team, thinks the whole world is going to fall apart. And he's probably right, turns out. So,
yeah, I am not prepped, and like, I'm okay with that. Like, if the internet goes down, just kill me. Like, I don't need, like, I don't need any skills. I'm not going to try to survive that hard. Like, maybe I'll have solar panels to like still play some Xbox and just chill till someone kills me. But like, I'm not that into like life without any of the modern conveniences.
So privacy is not a top concern of yours.
No, I don't care at all.
Yeah, I don't care at all. Actually, just why don't you give your phone number and social security number on this podcast?
Yeah, well, I live in Phoenix, Arizona, and
yeah, exactly. Oh. Do we want to talk about Biome?
Yeah. So I saw a video from, is it Ben Holmes? Am I getting his name right?
That's
the Astro guy.
Yeah, he's the whiteboard guy.
Yeah, is that his name, Ben Holmes?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So he had a video.
Sorry,
and it was
Ben.
Like, huh?
He's our one listener. You fucked it up.
Oh, now we have no listeners. No, so he whiteboarded a little, but I think he's leaning less into that. He's like more showing stuff. But he was showing like the ESLint and Prettier config that he had to have before, and then like the Biome config after. And it was like, here's all my like five or six plugins for ESLint. Like, I wanna like do all this bespoke stuff for my framework, and I wanna like do whatever. And then in Prettier, he wants to like import sort with the Trivago Prettier import sorter thing and whatever. And he's like, yeah, we don't have to care about any of that because we just install Biome and you can do like, it'll both lint and format, and they're two separate commands. So you can do either. And then you can also do, I forget what the other one was. You can like do it all, like check and fix it for me. And so he was like showing how you can do everything in that. And the problem is it only supports like the React ecosystem and vanilla JavaScript. So if you're using like Svelte or Vue, or he didn't mention Ember, but I care about Ember, you can't use it. So I'm like, okay, well, I love this idea. So I'm just waiting for it to exist in other things. But like, yeah, we've gotten down this path of like every project I have has at least like 3 or 4 ESLint plugins. You have to have one for TypeScript too, because if you're doing TypeScript, it's different.
Right.
And then you have to have a separate config thing that's like overrides for TypeScript files and then do these different rules. And yeah, it's just, it's gotten out of hand and it's very slow too. Like ESLint tried to do the whole caching thing where you can like dash dash cache and it'll be like faster because it's only doing it on the things you've changed.
Right.
But that also breaks. Like, I don't know under what circumstances it breaks, but sometimes it breaks for me where I'm like, I changed a thing and it's not linting it. And it tells me you passed. And then I like send it to CI and it's like, you failed. And you have to run it without cache. And then it'll tell you, oh yeah, you didn't pass. So like something weird's happening there. I'm just ready for a new tool that does it all. And I think Biome can do it. It's just not like fully available for all ecosystems yet.
Well, you'll just switch to React and get it today.
You're right. Right. I'm going to write JSX because I love it. And yeah, no, because I want to do a comparison because like anything that has a, what's it like, is DSL the right word or right acronym of like, you have a templating language of like where you have an if else in the template versus mm-hmm. having like brackets and then just JavaScript. Like from right. JSX, you know what
okay.
I mean?
Yeah. So like the handlebar syntax versus JSX.
Yeah. Right? Something. Yeah. Like cause like I was making some changes to our Next.js based podcast website and I had to do an if, like if I have this image for the episode, like our newest, like 25 episodes have an image and then the rest of them have like the default image. And I want to say, if it has an image, give me these meta tags. So in JSX, you do brackets, thing.meta tags or whatever, like ternary operator, the thing I want, or null. And I'm like, what? Why can't you just say if do this thing? And you can't in JSX, but you can in like every templating language. And it just looks so much more readable.
Mm. Right. Yeah. Versus like in JSX, you can do the nullish coalescence.
Right.
Thing. So it's like that's sort of a way around it.
Yeah. I didn't have the other thing I wanted. So like it was a weird hierarchy of the root case was just in like the root, like the root index HTML or whatever. It was like these are your head and this is the thing you want to, the image you want to show. And then I wanted to override that for certain episodes. So the way the head, like the Next.js head, not like HTML head, works is you can like give it the same thing again and it will override. Mm. So like in the more specific cases, you're like, I want to show this thing. But then if you omit the whole block, it'll go back to the root one. So I was trying to do that. Like it wasn't like I knew what the root case was and I wanted to say, if it's null, double question mark and do that. So it was like, it was a, if I had that info, that would have been very easy. And I think that is much more readable than the ternary operator. I agree right. with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it was, it's just a weird thing. Like it feels like you should be able to just have an if. I don't get it.
And that's it. At the end, you just want an if else or if.
I do.
Just
I do. If. Like if that's how it is in programming. I don't need to have something else that doesn't work that way or have to like map through something to be able to do an if else inside the map.
Right. Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But everyone and knows rant. How I feel about that.
Well, it's funny because going back to your Biome discussion, though, which is like Biome, I believe, came out of the React ecosystem because it was Rome first. And it was,
I don't know what happened to Rome, though. Rome kind of died.
Yeah, no, it just was like, we're building an awesome thing. Here's some stuff. And then it kind of stagnated.
That
and
Sebastian, whatever guy. You know
I heard
about?
There was some like shady shit going on with it. And essentially people left and basically the project just stagnated, and then people who worked on it just started this new one. I should probably do more research on that, but
yeah. Yeah, we can talk about this in more detail for sure another time, because we literally added this to our notes like 30 minutes before we were talking about it. So we don't know what we're talking about. This is not Syntax FM where we know what we're talking about. This is Whiskey Web and whatnot, where we speculate about whatever we want.
Today's episode is brought to you by Sentry. Sentry.io is the...
Got some errors?
Yeah, I got some errors. Send them there. And then read them later.
Sentry is great, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've used a lot of different error reporting things, and it's like the most seamless one. And it's also updated all the fucking time. Like, I can't log into GitHub without a Dependabot alert that's like, Ember/Sentry has been updated from like version 7 to version 8 billion. Like, it's like updated every day. And I'm like, what are you guys doing? Like, they are clearly shipping all the time.
And if they're updating the Ember version like that, can you imagine?
Well, I think it's a monorepo. So it's like every time they ship anything for Sentry, every version gets updated.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Because it's, they're not giving that much focus to Ember like every single day. Like,
I was wondering, I was like, geez, there's a whole like Ember team just being like, this is how we get deeper into the internals. We'll give you more information just about Ember. Apparently not.
Yeah.
Right? It was just SQLite, to be fair. But still,
well,
it was
still
like, set it up, do the migrations, do the seeding, just, you know, one record.
Yeah. So tell me about Alessia. Is it Alessia? Alessia?
Yeah, I have the same thing. I asked and she never pronounced it for me, so I don't know. Hmm. But it is a bun-based framework for web APIs. It's like the new Express, but on bun. Bun. So it's super fucking fast so far, but it is also
instead of 200 milliseconds, it takes 150 milliseconds.
Exactly. I don't know. I wrote a test for a get by ID endpoint, and setting up the test. So basically booting up, migrating, like set up the database, migrate, seed it, run the test, shut down, tell me information, 69 milliseconds. Whole thing.
Damn.
I was like,
setting up a database, that's got to be at least 10x faster than anything else.
I think
if not
so.
Way more.
I think so. It is like so fast, very instantaneous. Like, start the server, boom, it's immediate. It's like, it's really nice in that sense. I guess why
they care that it takes 20 milliseconds to run node version.
Exactly. Why do they want to know what node version? You know, that's what makes me wonder. It's like, why do you need that?
Probably for compatibility with other things, where like you're running a library and it cares what the node version is to do like different branches or something.
That's
like,
true.
So the fact that it runs node version, they're upset that it takes 20 milliseconds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like they're contributing to node, maybe.
Maybe. I mean, I think if nothing else, it's going to move everyone forward, because they're like, you know, we've been not caring a ton about performance. We're just caring about adding features, and like, there's some performance gains, but they're like, wait, this could be like, in some cases, probably 100x, 1000x faster. Like,
yeah.
We need to care now.
It's true, because when you have a player come in and say, I care the most about performance, that's going to push everybody forward. Because even like Deno, I think, didn't care as much about performance as I did about like developer ergonomics. You know, there's like certain
things. They were very security-based too.
Yeah, yeah. So, which is fine. It's a good thing. But then take that foundation and now move it into also blazing fast. Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Dino is doing it right, where like they basically give you no permissions, and they're like, if you want to do anything, you must request and give like explicit access of like, I want you to be able to read files or whatever. It's not just like, do whatever you can with these node APIs. It's like, no, you don't have any access until we give it to you for every little thing, because then you can say, all right, I'm going to implement this thing, and you give it access to that, and you don't have to worry about the rest because you're like, I know it's locked down and it's not going to do other shit. Yeah. So like, I think that is really powerful. If they can meet in the middle, like if Bun can do the same thing, but also be fast, I think that's the perfect thing.
Yeah. Yeah. We shall see. The runtime wars have begun, which, I mean, who would have thought 5-10 years ago, runtime wars, part two.
Yeah. I mean, JavaScript, I thought, was just like a thing. Like, we don't need all these runtimes. Like, Node happened to be the same thing we were running in Chrome, just repurposed. But like, the fact that we would have several more. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had no idea.
Yeah. 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 Didn't see this coming. Wasn't on your bingo card, apparently.
Yeah. Something else we didn't see coming was selling Shepherd to the company you work for now.
Oh my gosh.
This won't air for a while, so it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, we should be clear about that distinction of spinning up a company around Shepherd.js, which now becomes Shepherd, the thing, and Shepherd Pro in the future. And trying to build more to do more with Shepherd. Shepherd, very dumb library for tours, but actually can do a whole lot more than tours because it's just all about context, right? It's sort of like it goes through steps and points out elements, and you can use it in all kinds of ways. Are you guiding someone towards onboarding? Are you showing new features? Are you, just trying to engage interaction in some ways, and you want context to that? Like, you can definitely do a lot with that information if you decide to capture it and sort of like do something with that. So yeah, that's definitely a thing, I think. So Shepherd.js is MIT open source library, will continue to be so in perpetuity as far as I know. And we'd just like to offer something that is a better developer experience and offers insights from what your users are doing. So that's a very serious topic for a few whiskeys in. But it's worth talking about. It's worth saying that, like, because Shipshape has been the steward of Shepherd for quite some time, and doing something with Shepherd and hopefully offering something of value to people is cool. So fucking A, stay tuned.
Yeah. There's also like a lot of like, Shepherd is big enough that users try to do weird stuff, and like, that informs some of like what the direction should be, I think. But like, people forever have wanted to highlight two things, like two cutouts, but one pop up or pop over, whatever terminology is weird. And then recently, like within the last week, someone wanted to have one cutout, like highlight one element, but have two popovers attached to the same thing. And I was like, what? Why? But like, just making it flexible enough that people could do that on like all the different, like, I think making that distinction will differentiate it from like Intro.js or something else that's similar. And then adding on pro features that like make it super easy to do this as a developer, or like down the road as a just marketing team or whatever. Like,
there's a lot of players, like, not a ton.
Yeah.
This is like Pando, I think, is one that has like a big thing. There's AppQs, has that very marketer side of things. There's Chameleon is a newer one that has like, Frigade is one that has like full onboarding experience and has a clerk.dev kind of like drop in our React components and get your thing, because it's going to call home and get a bunch of info there and sort of simplify integration. But, you know, is that the best thing? I don't know. I think a lot of people want contextual information and analytics. Maybe that's a thing. So integrations with like PostHog and Amplitude and shit like that too.
I don't think anyone has really nailed it yet. So I think it's going to be a lot of like trial and error and figuring out what works. But I think Shepherd as a library has always been like the user, or like the developer's tour library. Cause like Intro.js was like, they had the weird licensing of like, if you made more than a certain amount of money or whatever, you had to pay them, and then like different stuff. So like, I think being able to use Shepherd fully, it's like kind of dumb. You can customize all of it, and then we layer on like the value add after, is different than the rest of them. So
yeah, I'm trying to capitalize on the existing market. Like, cool, you're using it. Great, keep using it. No worries. Yeah. There. Drupal uses it for their their tour component.
Or yeah. Whatever, and so. They haven't been like, they haven't had a lot of problems, I guess, because they were like, you know, we want to add this. If we have problems, like, we will come at you. And like, are you cool with that? And I was like, yeah. And they, like, they had a couple of issues and like, they were fine. We resolved them. But like, you would think that sort of mass usage would unveil a lot of things, and it really didn't. And we've had like a stable test like system for many years, which took us through, like, I first converted it to Preact, now to Svelte.
Yep.
And like, all the tests still pass in the same test suite. So it's like, that's the power of test-driven development. You can swap out your entire framework and it just works.
It's going to be a web component next or something like that.
It could, like, as long as the tests pass, you can make it whatever.
Yeah. Fo-rizzle.
Yeah.
Oh, that feels like a good outro. Yeah. We'll talk about tree trimming and landscaping. I think you meant manscaping here, but it says landscaping. So I don't know.
Yeah. We got 5 minutes left. We can whatnot for a couple minutes.
All right.
It's a lot of tech.
So yeah. We can do kid things. So
yeah. Yeah. Well, we're almost done.
Hey,
let's just talk Christmas shopping.
All right.
Christmas shop early or wait till the last minute?
Me personally or my family? Because there's a difference.
Both.
My family as a whole is a collective, and I can piggyback onto that. Christmas shops early for the most part. Me, I get to a couple of key items that I know early on, just because like, I like to be a thoughtful gift giver and not just like, oh, it's the thing, I have to do it. So like, when it comes for me, like, I know what I want to buy. I get it and just get it over with. And then there's like, oh, we have stockings to fill and blah, 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 that I do all last minute and all online.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I think I do like similar. I have a few that I like really nail and like put thought into. And then I'm just kind of spent. I'm like, how can I get gifts for everyone else without like putting a lot of effort into it? So it's like, yeah, you have those few like, yeah, I'm going to win this one. And then the rest are just kind of like, I got to get gifts.
Yeah. So, I know. I find myself like going through Prime Day or whatever. And like, is there anything great here? There's not really, but is there anything that's good enough?
Yeah.
And sometimes that happens.
Yeah. It's funny because like sometimes I'll do it based on what I want too. So like, I sent my mom this year, like, what's it called? The Wintersmiths like ice set thing where you can make the clear ice.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And they like the Wintersmith one is special because you can make like 10 different shapes. Now they don't give you all the shapes. You got to buy each thing separately.
Nice. Clever.
And it's very expensive. And she was like, this is an ice tray. Like, what are you talking about? Why is it this expensive? And I was like, because it's clear ice and it's different shape.
She didn't quite know that nuance. Yet.
Yeah.
She was like, oh, so great, like, son.
Yeah. She wasn't thrilled with that. But I, in turn, got like some other people, some of the like less expensive clear ice things. So like, I think it's a good thing to have. You might not be able to support all the shapes and the whatever, like not get the fancy one. But there's like an Amazon one's like $40 and it like does really clear ice. So works fine.
Links in Robbie's bio. They are affiliate.
Well, they've canceled my affiliate program, so fuck them. I didn't get enough traffic on my Amazon affiliate links because no one goes to robbythewagner.dev, apparently.
Oh, okay. Can you call up Jeff and be like, I work for you?
I can Slack Jeff.
Oh, I would love that. When you're ready to like quit, you should Slack Jeff about it, like getting in the affiliate program.
I don't think he responds. I don't think he or Andy Jassy, the new CEO, ever respond. Like, I think they just happen to have accounts.
Yeah. But then they're like, just like never there. They never actually.
Yeah. Like, they probably never respond to email either. It's like maybe goes to their secretary or their secretary's secretary.
Yeah.
Or like, yeah. But yeah. It's a weird thing with the affiliate thing. It's like, I think they give you like 3 months. And if you don't have a certain number of buys, like not even just clicks, it's like if you haven't generated enough revenue, they just cancel it. And it's like, how is that even worthwhile? Because you might as well leave it open. What if like I accidentally went viral and 1,000 people want to buy it, right? Like,
yeah, yeah. You got to do that X number of times to keep it going.
Yeah, like you get to appeal it. Like you have to wait a month or two and then be like, no, I have traffic now. And then they give you like another chance to get it and whatever. And it's just a lot of red tape. It should just be like, then someone has to, well, I guess no one's managing it. It's automated. But I don't know. This is a weird rant to go on.
So find a different affiliate program. That's what you're saying.
Well, yeah. Like BeFlow desks.
There you go. That's true. Nice desk. Yeah. We'll talk more about it another time, I guess.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by... Oh, we should share that. This episode,
yeah, I don't know what it is.
Is it?
Let me look it up while you're talking.
All right. Go BeFlow, which is a standing desk that is all about... Hey, I love that the raise and lower is each individual leg. It's like extremely stable with that. It has an entire like system for organizing all your wires that wouldn't be apparent for my current setup. But when I move to my children's playhouse as my primary office, I'll show a more advanced configuration.
Nice.
GoBeFlow.com.
Oh, I still cannot find... Let's see, dude. Yeah, I don't know. We'll share the code next time because I can't find it right now.
Okay.
I think they gave us like 20 or 30% off on the code though. So.
Oh, that's solid. We should definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's like $3,000 desk. You should do it.
Yeah. The best desk I've had for sure. And like I never had organized cords until this desk because usually I would just let them all hang. And then Caitlin would come in eventually and be like, I got these clips. I'm going to like clip them up for you.
Nice. Like, and now, but now it's just so like, embarrassing.
Yeah,
as you get older, she does that with your balls too.
Oh, that sounds painful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not very functional, but effective. Anyway.
Okay. Well, yeah, this one took a lot of weird turns, but we are over time. So hopefully you enjoyed at least part of it. If you liked it, please subscribe, leave some ratings and reviews, and we will catch you next time.
Also, check out shepherdjs.dev. Boom, 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 boom.
And shepherdpro.com,
but it doesn't go anywhere yet.
Yeah. Okay.